Welcome. You are about to join the story of Lioness. Listen as host and author Diane Pendola brings you the Lioness tale. Now it's time to come together and awaken to the liberating spirit that lives at the center of each of our lives. Here's Diane Pendola.
Hello, this is Diane Pendola, and I am so happy to be hosting this show, which is also based on my book, The Lioness Tale, Awakening the Liberating Spirit. Today, Teresa Hahn, the voice of our story, will be reading the middle section of our tale straight through the show, interrupted only by our commercial breaks, with a little commentary added in by myself during the last segment. But to prepare ourselves to listen and receive the spirit of the story, let's just take a few moments to get centered. Wherever you are, you're breathing. So come into contact with your breath and come into awareness of the present moment. And open your heart. Breathe into your heart and open your heart to the liberating spirit of the story. On a previous show, Teresa read the first part of our lioness tale. We saw our cub, little cub, born, experience the loss of her mother, which was really tragic and incredibly traumatic, and the horror of her own capture. We met the panther, who was to become her friend. And we left our lioness, now called the Silent One, abandoned by her lion, with whom she had secretly met and made love. We resume the story here, with our lioness hoping for the return of the lion, who never does come again. The lion continued to descend the cliff for nights afterwards, but never again did the lion come to meet her. She lay heavily upon the naked rock, the juniper needles providing scant protection from the cruel cold. Looking out into those winter nights, the stars shone, frozen and distant, against a great expanse of darkness. Who can say what kept her from plunging her body into that darkness, away from the icy claw extending its fingers all the way through her heart to grip her very soul? Only her breath, hot upon the frozen air, lingered about her as evidence of warmth. Only her breath, an ephemeral mist upon the night wind, whispered to her of life. She felt alone and betrayed, empty of hope, a great hollow shell devoid of feeling. But there were moments when the shell cracked and she was released upon the breath to dissolve into the infinity of space. Those moments passed. She forgot them. She pushed them down and back into the same dark regions where so much of her was buried. She preferred to remember the betrayal, to cultivate her hatred, to thicken the armor that she presented to the world as herself. The heat ceased to flow in her veins. Her blood ran cold. The other cats in her compound spoke behind her back. They said her lion found someone new, a lioness less intense, less eerily silent. But none dared confront her. The Silent One felt more isolated, more alone than ever before. None would have guessed that behind the snarls she hurled at the other cats was a lioness desperate for connection. Not even she would have admitted that the longing for fulfillment that the lion had awakened within her lay wedged in the wall of her defenses like a gate yet to be opened. But the Black Panther knew. She watched with knowing eyes and with the patience of wisdom. She knew how to wait. The elders of her pride had taught her well. They had seen to it that her natural gifts had ample opportunity to develop. They had encouraged her solitude and her inner journeying. There were times an elder would sit beside her in silence and journey with her into inner space where they would commune together in the oneness of their being before time. And there were times when all the members of the pride would gather in a sacred circle under the light of the full moon to contemplate together the dark from which they came, the light for which they were created, and the love which was the bridge between. These were sacred times of remembering for the pride of panthers, and through it all the young panther grew in grace and wisdom. Panthers, both young and old, sought her out for the kindness she showed them and for the deep peace they felt in her presence. Perhaps it was this that drew the silent one toward her. The black panther had never spoken to the lioness, but the silent one knew that the black cat was watching her. Surprisingly, it didn't anger her. She felt comforted by those golden eyes. They held no judgment, no hidden intent. They were clear and somehow innocent. Over the days, she circled closer and closer to the magnificent black cat. Her circling was so subtle, so cautious, that only one with the panther's powers of observation would have even noticed the steady and studied approach of the lioness. And so it came to pass that the silent one found a friend. In the beginning, she put her friend through many tests, but never did the panther betray her trust. Sometimes the silent one raged. She snarled without reason. The hair stood up upon her back more often than it relaxed. But her anger found no fuel to ignite within her new friend's being. Rather, her snarls fell upon the panther like a burning branch upon the water. In the panther's presence, she found relief. She still walked the compound, a powerful loner from which the other cats kept a respectful distance. The bars of her inner prison kept others far away. Even the new cat sensed her invisible wall. But the same defenses that conveyed her strength and power to others concealed her tenderness, her vulnerability, and her needs to give and to receive love. She had shown her need to the lion, and he had betrayed her. Since he had abandoned her, she had fortified her walls and retreated even further behind them. But somehow the panther had slipped through the gate that the lion had left fixed within her fortress. The panther had come inside her, and the lioness let her stay. Nearly every part of the compound could be seen from the scars that crisscrossed the land. The keepers patrolled the compound enclosed in metal boxes that rolled back and forth across the scars in a constant cloud of dust. They carried long pieces of iron that were capable of producing an explosive sound that made the silent one's heart pound with terror. The first time she heard the sound, it was a warning shot fired off to break up a fight between two cats on the yard. The silent one, in sheer panic, had fled at the ear-splitting sound, bolting blindly into the fence that surrounded the preserve, hitting it with such force that she was knocked unconscious. The keepers, armed with their pieces of iron and accompanied by their dogs, had swarmed into the yard. Leashed and vicious, their dogs growled and snapped their way among the big cats. The keepers, close upon their canines' heels, swung their clubs and threatened with their pieces of iron, until the yard became quiet and the cats backed away, shamed by the domesticated dogs that sent them to their dens. Several keepers and dogs gathered around the unconscious lioness. As she struggled to regain awareness, she felt she was caught in a great net. She thrashed with her body and slashed out helplessly with her great claws, desperate for release from the net she imagined tightening with each futile movement. She felt as though she was being heaved up from a great black hole in a web that kept her penned and powerless. As she opened her eyes, it was not the keepers she saw, but other strangers and other dogs from another time. She gathered all of her strength to rend the rope she sensed binding her body, to leap at the strangers, to tear the sneering smiles from their faces. But the keepers saw was a cat gone mad. She felt a hot slice of pain in her right hip. Her body went limp and passed beyond her control. Her eyes stared helplessly at the keepers as they dragged her to a cage where they slammed the door upon her and left her alone in stunned paralysis. She came to fear this power they had over her even more than she feared their long iron weapons of terror. They had kept her in the cage for several weeks. It was the worst kind of humiliation and slavery. The drugs they injected in her flesh twice each day stole away her pride, her mind, and her very soul. More than once, a keeper came into the cage and violated every part of her body. He forced open her great mouth, and she was powerless to close her jaws upon him. He thrust his fist into her anus, his hand into her vaginal cavity, probing and prodding, and she was helpless to defend herself. She was like a dying carcass, like wounded prey, defenseless against the carrion birds that pecked at every orifice of her body. When they released her from the cage back into the so-called freedom of the preserve, they said it was a privilege. They said they would cage her again if she even snarled at a keeper. They said if she even looked at a keeper wrong, they would cage her for good and drug her forever. This, too, had thickened the walls of her inner prison. Her rage smoldered inside her. The hope she had brought with her from the world she had known before, the preserve, was consumed by hatred and a nauseous sense of betrayal. This place was not humane. It only appeared so to the strangers who came in their boxes on wheels, who would stop and poke their heads out of windows and flash strange lights at the big cats, and then roll back down to the great gate of the preserve and away. They didn't see the cats that were kept drugged in cages, more foul than the ones they had come from. They didn't know that the abuse here was subtler, more sophisticated, more hidden. They didn't know that the battle here was not for dominance over the big cats' bodies, but for ownership of their soul. Or did they? Did they even care? The Silent One came to hate the strangers even more than the keepers. At least the keepers were part of the battle. They too had anger and hatred and sometimes kindness. But the strangers only watched from a safe distance, from behind their windows. Sometimes the Silent One would meet their gaze with her own fierce stare. She would see fear spring behind their eyes, but it was quickly shuttered by indifference, by their capacity to drive away, by their capacity to forget. She found comfort in the presence of her new friend. She did not know why. Wasn't the panther also a prisoner? Why, then, did she seem so free? The Silent One had no answers, just a growing curiosity about her friend, whose beautiful golden eyes held such deep black centers. Looking into the black of those eyes, the Silent One was drawn more deeply into her own self. She was drawn into herself and beyond herself. She lost herself in those eyes. The anger which formed the thickest crust of her defensive shell collapsed beneath that gaze. The red of its energy drained as she dropped down into the lair below the anger, and down again into the lair below the fear, and down again into the lair below the sadness. She would drop deeper and deeper until there were no more layers, until she touched something that was true and real and alive. Then she would find herself again, but as something, someone, totally new, totally changed, totally other than what she had believed herself to be. The lioness found comfort in the presence of her new friend. She did not know why. Wasn't the panther also a prisoner? Why, then, did she seem so free? The Silent One had no answers, just a growing curiosity about her friend, whose beautiful golden eyes held such deep black centers. Looking into the black of those eyes, the Silent One was drawn more deeply into her own self. She was drawn into herself and beyond herself. She lost herself in those eyes.
The anger, which formed the thickest crust of her defensive shell, collapsed beneath that gaze. The red of its energy drained as she dropped down into the lair below the anger, and down again into the lair below the fear, and down again into the lair below the sadness. She would drop deeper and deeper until there were no more lairs, until she touched something that was true and real and alive. Then she would find herself again, but as something, someone totally new, totally changed, totally other than what she had believed herself to be. This belief about who she thought she was would bring her back as though from a dream, and she would shake the dream from her head and pull her eyes from the panther's gaze and remember that she was a caged animal, a captive. Her anger would return. She would feel it taut in her muscles, set like a trap to spring on anything that might come too close. And she would withdraw then from the panther. She would avoid her for days, nursing her anger as though the panther threatened it, as though the refreshing waters of the panther's presence might consume the raging fires of the Silent One completely. And then, who would the Silent One be? Without her anger, how would she survive? This did not disturb the panther. She knew that the seed so tightly enclosed within the layered shell of the lioness was stirring with the power of new life. She also knew that when the Silent One looked into the panther's eyes, the lioness beheld her own reflection there. It was her own deep self that drew her. It was her own sacred being she touched. But the Silent One could not tolerate the greatness she discovered within. She believed herself small. She believed the lie she had seen reflected for so long in the eyes of the all-forgetting cats and keepers and strangers. She believed that lie to be the truth. The panther knew this. She offered the lioness her eyes, herself, as a mirror that for the first time in the life of the Silent One could reflect back all of who she was. But for the Silent One to remember who she truly was meant death to the cat she believed herself to be. That cat had begun to die the day her driving desire to kill the tigress had given way to something deeper. What had it been? It had felt like some deep well of grief had opened up within her, deeper than her anger, deeper than the bloodlust driving her. It was a profound sense of loss for herself, for the tigress, for who they once were and might be again. It had been the most poignant sorrow that drove her to her den. A vast emptiness had opened in her belly. She wandered that emptiness, feeling utterly lost. The panther had recognized the moment of awakening. It was the quickening of the seed. It was the beginning of the Silent One's journey home. The keepers knew that the Silent One was pregnant. They had hoped for it. After all, she was a magnificent specimen, and her mate was a strong, healthy, dominant male. He had fought the other young males of the compound for the privilege of scaling the cliff to meet her on the juniper ledge. The keepers had allowed the clandestine meetings. The two cats would produce beautiful offspring, and there were strangers that would pay a handsome price for the cubs. The Silent One had been naive and foolish to believe that the keepers were unaware. The other cats had tried to warn her, but their warnings had fallen on deaf ears. She herself had seen the keepers watching and whispering, but she had turned away from the whispers, had ignored the scent of danger, the very air thick with premonition that the deepest sadness was yet to come. The keepers had verified the pregnancy during the time she had been drugged and caged. The one who had violated her had confirmed it. She hadn't known the purpose for his horrible presence. He had been cruel in his work, as though her powerlessness unleashed a sadistic impulse to hurt and expose her far beyond the requirements of his duty. Beneath his ruthless scrutiny, she was no lioness at all, only an object to be penetrated by his caustic hands and probed by his cold instruments. She became an object of contempt, most tragically, to herself. Now that self-contempt stirred as she felt the stirring of life in her womb. She had been a blind fool. She felt the lion had used her. But now she saw that he, too, had been used. Their youth and desire and years of captivity had conspired with the malicious intent of the keepers to render them breeders and incubators of life that would never be theirs. Now she saw, too, clearly the whole terrible truth. The keepers would take away her cubs, and she would be powerless to stop them. Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like to have the energy of youth in your veins, the vitality of strength and health course through your veins? Do you know what it means to have your very own life force beat you down as surely as your feet beat upon the concrete floor, a scar etched by hour after hour of impatient pacing? Do you know what it means to have this energy caged? Do you know how it flows like hot lava from the belly, hardening in the heart and exploding in red rage in the mind? And if you are female, and if you have carried within your womb the sacred treasure of a beating heart, of new life wrapped warm within the safe solidity of your own body, you know with what fierce mother love you would fight to bring that new life safely into the light. And what if you were not allowed to fight? What if you were beaten down and back? What if you knew that the sweet, innocent life would only suckle a week, a month? What if you knew it would eventually be torn from your breast, crying and confused? What if you were helpless to follow, powerless to pursue, as your own life's blood was carried away from you, the screams growing fainter and fainter in the distance? Can you imagine how the screams might echo in your mind, how they might haunt your dreams? The Silent One knew. The cubs were with her barely 6 weeks. She tried not to remember that moment when they were pulled from her. She tried to forget their anguished cries, the look of terror on their faces. She tried to believe that they knew she did not willingly abandon them. She tried to console herself with the thought that somehow they would grow up with the memory of her stored in the cells of their beings. But she was haunted with the fear that they would only remember her failure. They would only remember her powerlessness. They would only remember the mockery of her as a mother. During the time of her pregnancy and afterward, while her cubs nursed, the Silent One had been isolated from the rest of the cats in the yard. Then she had been caged for her protection and that of her offspring. Now she was caged because she had more than snarled at the keepers when they had taken her cubs away. She had thrown herself upon them, claws fully extended, fangs bared, a cat gone out of control and ready to kill. They had shot her then with the tranquilizer gun. With the cubs held firmly within their grasp, the keepers slammed the great iron gate behind them, turning the lock and pocketing the key. She collapsed on the cold floor of her prison, unable to command her muscles to move. The drug heightened the acuteness of her hearing as she listened to the fading sobs of her babies. Despair took hold of her then. All the colors washed out of her. The red of her rage drained from her mind's eye. The rose glow of love for her cubs drained from her heart. All went gray. They drugged her for a few weeks after that, but gradually they came to see that the drugs were no longer necessary. The great cat no longer bristled at the keeper's approach. Her gaze was dull and apathetic, as though a lid had closed within her eyes. The proud and defiant cast of her great head was gone, and now it hung low and lusterless. No longer was there rage when the keepers entered her cage, and they seemed to do it more frequently now. The same keeper who had confirmed her pregnancy seemed to be a weekly presence. He listened to her heart and shined a narrow pinpoint of light into her eyes. He opened her mouth and pressed his hateful fingers to her gums. He stuck needles in her veins, withdrawing her red-hot blood, and she gave without resistance, wishing he would empty her veins to the last drop so that she could finally die and be done with this living death. There was no fight left in her, no feeling. He could do what he wanted. She was broken. The panther came each night, the black of her long, sleek body reflecting the star-strewn sky. She would glide through the compound like a ghost and stretch out at the foot of the Silent One's cage like an invisible spirit. The Silent One gave no sign that she was aware of her friend's presence, yet the panther never wearied of her watchful vigil. Some nights passed in silence. The sound of the panther's breath and deep-throated purr blended with the song of crickets and the sage-scented wind that blew steadily over the preserve from the south. Occasionally it was punctuated with the hoot of an owl or the sudden cacophony of a pack of coyotes whose eerie howls hurled against the desert expanse would end as abruptly as they began. Before dawn drew a crimson line of meeting between land and sky, the panther would melt back into the dark as naturally as the twilight mist would soon be melting upon the first rays of day. Other nights the panther told stories. She told of her own youth, of her own days of living free. Her voice murmured across the short distance that separated her from the lioness like a stream murmuring across stones. And without conscious knowing, the Silent One was caught in the gentle motion of the stream, carried upon the panther's words like a leaf floating down current toward the sea. The lioness curled in the corner of her cage. Months had passed since the loss of her cubs. Her hip bones protruded pathetically through her matted coat, and her cell was foul. She stared apathetically into the night, looking through the panther as though she was not there. Yet the panther was not disheartened. Imagine, the panther began, a land without cages, without keepers and kept, without meanness and cruelty. Imagine a land where the waters run gentle and clear over green hills and roar through the canyons of towering rock walls carved by the winds and waters of time. Imagine the freedom to run the paths of the ancients through tall trees, sunlight filtering through their canopy of branches, shimmering upon the mosses and ferns of the forest floor. Yes, you can imagine it, Silent One. Don't say you cannot ever imagine. It is in you. The texture of the earth beneath your feet, the wind in your flaring nostrils, the scent of the forest and all its creatures filling your being. The earth is in you. And the rich land of your birth, freedom is within you, Silent One. The panther paused, her attention caught by the slight forward movement of the Silent One's ears, signaling that the lioness was listening. She knew the desire to live was flickering in her friend, if only dimly. She fanned the struggling ember with winds that blew up from her own life. Imagine it all with me now, Silent One, as I recall the ending of my youth. I was protected in the pride, cherished, nourished, nurtured by the constant presence of all around me. I had never been truly alone, never without the watchful eye of an elder holding my solitary play within their protective gaze. I was never without meat, without water, without companionship. But now I was at an age where I had the strength to take life and the power to birth it. And according to the transition rites of my pride, it was time for my journey into the wilderness, alone. After wandering for 3 days without food, I came to a great tree whose center had been charred by a fire long before. There was a triangular opening in the tree through which I entered into its dry and sheltered heart. I was hungry and tired, afraid and terribly alone. I imagined invisible ghosts and hidden dangers ascending into the dark regions above me. But I drew the ritual circle as prescribed in the rite that the elders had taught me and intoned the ancient chant. The chant slowly, surely drew my awareness away from my frightened scanning as I descended into my own center. My breath, slow and deep and rhythmic, opened doors upon the inner world of vision until I entered the dream. In my dream, I stood beneath a magnificent tree. It was strong, mature, in the prime of life. Its roots reached deep into the earth. Its branches were supple and dressed in the green leaves of summer. I parted the branches and walked into their shade, where I found myself confronted with a great snake. His circumference was thick as a sapling, and he was black like the black of a starlit night. He was draped pyramid-shaped among the branches, his head poised in the center of the pyramid, his eyes gazing directly into mine, his red whip of tongue lashing the air about him. Our eyes met and held as I absorbed my shock. I knew he was not malevolent. He meant me no harm. Yet he commanded respect through the sheer power of his presence. I knew he was a great being, and it was this greatness that made me feel afraid. His voice came to me like a low whistle, like a hiss of wind through a cleft of rock. It entered me as silently as wind, as surely as breath it came inside and spoke to my trembling heart. It said, "You are afraid, rightly so, but not for the reasons you imagine. You fear I could destroy you, but this is not my intention. You will feel as though you are indeed dying through your contact with me, but it is the death that gives birth to the conscious soul. And it is consciousness you fear. Yes, you remember where you came from. This is true. But your purpose here belongs to the realm of my teaching. Your soul has taken flesh, and in the world of flesh lies the necessity of choice. How will you choose?" His voice blew through my heart, cool, expansive. A sense of freedom accompanied it, an awesome freedom. And worlds I knew nothing of opened before my inner vision. There were beautiful worlds and monstrous worlds, worlds of kindness and worlds of cruelty. As I wandered through each one of them, I came to realize they were all within me. They were, all of them, in my heart. And with this awareness, I was afraid. I wanted to run away. I wanted to hide. I didn't want to know the extent of my capacity for great evil and great good. I didn't want to know what I now knew. I had lost innocence. The world would never again be the same. He said, "You can deny me, and the very thing you seek to deny will possess you with the power of a demon. Or you can allow me to teach you. And my teaching will release the energy of life within you. I am the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and I offer you consciousness. Will you choose to remain a slave, asleep to the great purpose of your life? Or will you choose the path that will set you free? The choice is yours." My inner vision shifted again, and I saw myself old. I saw myself in pain, my eyes failing, and my haunches no longer able to lift me toward my prey. I saw my death, and from the eyes of impending death, I looked back through time. I saw my life, brief as the flash of a falling star through the heavens. How empty to spend it chasing after my own security, as though I could keep death at bay. How futile to sell the precious pearl of my soul's wisdom for the transitory pleasures of a world in constant flux and change. I saw clearly that at the deepest level of my being, true freedom consisted in not having any choice. Ultimately, there was only one choice, the choice for light, for love, for life. All other choices ended here in death, and I with them. Only these could take me through death to the other side. Only these could take me home. From that moment, Silent One, I accepted Snake as my teacher. He whispers in my left ear, "Do not be afraid of the truth. The truth will set you free." And in teaching me truth, he teaches me to let all of life in. He instructs me that all life is my teacher. He reminds me of my capacity for evil, and through it teaches me humility. He opens before me the territory of freedom, and within that promised land, the power to choose my own path. The panther ceased her speaking. She looked at the silent one. The lioness was no longer looking through the black cat, but directly at her. Returning that direct gaze, the panther said, "You live in a world of cages, silent one, in one of the monstrous worlds. But you can wake up. You can wake up and choose your own path, even here. This is not greater than your own heart, nor does it run deeper than your own soul." The lioness heard the panther's words. They penetrated into some subterranean part of her, where they came to rest like gold at the bottom of a deep well. But more than her words, it was the panther herself who affected her, whose faithful presence at the foot of her cage, night by night, radiated warmth that subtly, imperceptibly, thawed the numbing cold which gripped her flesh. The silent one's indifference slowly began to give way to anticipation. As weeks continued to crawl by, the nightly visits from the black cat became as essential to her as the meager rations of food and water she received each morning. The presence of the panther was food for her soul, the nourishment that was restoring her to life.
I think that brings us to our break. And when we return from the break, that will be the end of our story for today, and then we'll have a little commentary about the story.
Why have we come to earth? Do you remember? Why have we
Hello, welcome back to The Lioness Tale, Awakening the Spirit. I just want to talk a little bit about what stands out to me in this last part of the story that was just read. One of the things that really stands out is the importance of having someone in our lives who mirrors back to us our basic goodness and wholeness. The panther acts as this mirror for lioness in the dark and the light of the panther's eyes. The lioness sees her whole self mirrored back. Her eyes help lioness remember her true self, her true home. Well, let me quote again from the book that talks about this power of looking into the eyes of someone who is truly present and whole. When the silent one looked into the panther's eyes, the lioness beheld her own reflection there. It was her own deep self that drew her. It was her own sacred being she touched. But the silent one could not tolerate the greatness she discovered within. She believed herself small. She believed the lie she had seen reflected so long in the eyes of all the self-forgetting cats and keepers and strangers. She believed that lie to be the truth. The panther knew this. She offered the lioness her eyes, herself, as a mirror. A mirror that for the first time in the life of the silent one could reflect back all of who she was. So if you remember, earlier in the book, lioness looked into the eyes of the keepers and the other imprisoned cats, and none could mirror back this wholeness because they were not whole themselves. They were caught in their own delusions, their own meannesses and pettiness. And so that is how the lioness saw herself. This is true for us as human beings.
As children, we didn't always see ourselves mirrored back in the eyes of our parents and caregivers as loved or lovable or good or valued. Sometimes our parents' own eyes were full of woundedness, of anger or sadness or grief, and we saw ourselves reflected in their reality. We are blessed indeed when we meet someone who can mirror back to us our own true nature, our own God nature, so to speak. These are spiritual teachers for us, wise guides. We may have been fortunate enough to have had such a mirror in the eyes of our own father or our own mother or perhaps a grandparent. But even if we weren't this lucky, there are teachers that come into our lives, lovers, mentors, friends, who do become mirrors for us, like the panther is for our lioness. And as we awaken to the liberating spirit within our own lives, we become mirrors for others. They say our eyes are the mirrors of our souls. The more connected we are to our own souls, the more we can help others connect to theirs. This is why I think it is so important for us to do our own personal work. I really believe that when we heal and awaken, it makes it that much easier for others to heal and awaken. I believe that this is the way we heal the world. The other thing that really stands out to me is the power of story and the power of imagination in our own healing process. The panther tells the lioness stories. She encourages the lioness to use her imagination, to literally think outside the box of her cage. She asks her to remember the natural world, to imagine herself as free, and to realize that freedom is already within her. The stories the panther tells are instrumental in awakening the liberating spirit within lioness. This section concludes with what I think is the heart of the panther's teaching and the heart of the book. You live in a world of cages, Silent One, in one of the monstrous worlds. But you can wake up. You can wake up and choose your own path, even here. This is not greater than your own heart, nor does it run deeper than your own soul. So many of us do want to blame our life circumstances for staying asleep, for staying unconscious, for not loving, for not showing up and loving ourselves and loving other people and choosing love and choosing life. I'm reminded of Nelson Mandela, the current president of South Africa. For nearly 30 years, he was imprisoned, considered a terrorist by the South African and racist apartheid regime, which actually was itself a terrorist state. And during his imprisonment, he was seen, of course, as an inferior. Blacks were seen as inferior by whites in that society. And he was also a prisoner. And he was seen as inferior as a prisoner. And he was looked down on by the white prison guards that held him captive. Yet, much like the panther of our story, he remembered who he was. During that incredibly long time of captivity, he kept freedom alive within his heart. And because he was able to do that, he became a mirror. And he became a mirror that not only changed the white keeper who guarded him, which he had a tremendous effect on him, but he also changed all of South Africa. I mean, his is really an amazing story. He called a whole country to become better, truer, kinder because of the bigness and clarity that was mirrored back to them from his own soul. So this is an amazing story, but it's a human story, and it's our story. And we can touch this freedom within our own hearts and within our own beings. So
Please join us again next week as we continue this journey of awakening the liberating spirit at the center of our own lives. But before we go, I do want to encourage you to go to the website, thelionesstale.com, to learn more about the Lioness Tale Prison Project, an in-prison transformation program that we are creating with the help and support of our nonprofit center, Skyline Harvest. We need sponsors to help us get this program into the prisons. This story is something that I really believe that women, particularly inside prison, can relate to and can use as a way to connect with their own life stories and connect with the liberating spirit at the center of their own life stories. And I really am anxious to be able to take this story into them and share it with them. So I hope you will help us do that. I also want to give a big thank you, a big shout-out to BillsFire.com. Bill's Fire does web hosting and web design, and he's donated his time over these years creating a great website for us at Skyline Harvest. And I know he also put a tremendous amount of energy updating our website for this show. As his website says, he builds a circle of support, helping you help heal the world, and he certainly has helped us with our healing work. So if you need help with your website, please give Bill your business. Once again, BillsFire.com. And last but not least, for information on all of our programs, go to ecocontemplative.org. ecocontemplative.org. There's a link on our website to buy the book, The Lioness Tale, and I hope you'll do that and share it with your friends and family and maybe gather groups and talk about it using this show. And if you want to get in touch with us and let us know what you think, you can email us at thelionesstale@gmail.com. So that's it for today's show, and we'll see you next week.
Author of The Lioness Tale, minister and Enneagram teacher Diane Pendola is the director and co-founder of Skyline Harvest, an eco-contemplative center in the Sierra foothills of Northern California. Living on 200 private acres with wooded trails and spectacular views, she offers Lioness Tale workshops, Enneagram consultations, and retreat opportunities. Diane created and conducts an in-prison transformational program called the Lioness Tale Prison Project. At Skyline Harvest, as well as inside prison walls, she advances the theme of her Voice America radio show, The Lioness Tale, Awakening the Liberating Spirit. If you are interested in sponsoring this life-changing program for people inside prison, or if you wish to purchase Diane's book, schedule a consultation, retreat, or workshop at Skyline Harvest, contact Diane at www.ecocontemplative.org or call 530-288-0308. Again, that's ecocontemplative.org or call 530-288-0308.
Serve and remember to love. Soon.